Welcome to the Do Your Good podcast series. In this podcast series, you'll hear from me, Sybil, and other experts in the field to help you make your money matter and make a huge difference in the world. I come to you with over two decades of experience as a person who's helped donors give away over $45 million in donations, both large and small. This podcast series is meant to give you the tools you need to be effective in the world and fund nonprofits and issues that you care about with meaning and purpose, and to make a true, deep difference in the world. Hello, everybody. I am delighted to introduce you to season five of my podcast series. Season five is especially for my nonprofit friends to help you hone your fundraising pitch. I did a live training that was 8 months long every first Monday of the month, and it was super popular with my email subscribers. I had such wonderful interactions from nonprofits, and in each training, I focused in on one of seven key elements that I think you need, my nonprofit friend, to be successful in honing your fundraising pitch. So what I'm doing now for this season five of the podcast is I've heavily edited the live training, and I also offer some of my own special interjections in the middle of the training to guide you and point you in the direction of even more resources, so that you in the podcast universe, in the nonprofits who attend to listen to my podcast, you can get the benefit of my training. If you're a donor that likes to listen to my podcasts, please share this with your favorite nonprofit, because this training is geared to help them raise even more money. And I'm sure as a donor, you want your nonprofits to succeed. And a couple things to note as you listen to this live training. I do interject occasionally because sometimes the video version of a live training doesn't translate that well into the podcast world. And so I interject to sort of help guide the conversation. I also have wonderful assistants that help me. And so sometimes you'll hear a voice that you don't recognize, and that is my assistant coming in to make sure that the questions that the audience are asking is coming into the flow of the training and the conversation. Hey, everyone, I want to interject here before we start on this recording of the live training. For some reason, this recording is a little bit scratchy in terms of the sound quality, but I still really feel strongly that I want you to hear my training here, because my budget template that I sent out to all my email subscribers was one of the most popular downloaded resources that I've ever done. And I had a lot of people interested in this training. So like I said before, I really apologize for the scratchiness in this sound quality, but I think you'll still get a lot out of this this podcast. So listen on and have a great time learning how to do an effective budget and to show your finances overall in a really strong way to the donors that you want to fundraise from.
So what we're going to talk about is seven elements to include in a fundraising pitch, big picture. And then we're going to do a deep dive to explain how to explain your worth. Okay, so first, let's just make sure that you're grounded in the seven elements to include in a pitch overall, and then we'll talk about your financial overview. The seven elements are, I want you to be able to talk about what your success is. Then I want you to talk about your problem statement. I want you to clearly explain your role. I want you to talk about how you're leveraging your work. I want you to talk about scale. I want you to talk about your collaborators. And then I want to talk about your financial worth or your budget. As many of you know, for the last 7 months, I have done an in-depth training every first Monday of the month to talk about each one of these seven pitch elements. And right now we're going to talk about budget. I've recorded all of them, and I'm in the process of putting all of the recordings as well up on my website so you can revisit them all the time. So that's going to happen soon as well. Okay, so here's the big picture when you're talking about your budget and your finances. One thing I want you to be sure you remember to do is, here's the plug and play template. Our budget is X amount. and we're requesting X amount from you to achieve success at X. Okay? So this year, you're going to look at this mirror and be like, oh my God, Sybil, this is so obvious. Here's the deal. I'm actually surprised at how many folks don't actually do this upfront when they're talking about their proposal that they're asking for funding from. They'll just get right into it, and you'll forget to say, here's your overall budget and here's how much you need. Put that right up at the top. So I just want to say that out loud. We're going to get into many more things around this, though. There are, drum roll, please. There are 10 things to consider when you're thinking about offering your financial overview. Now, you'll see, and Amanda will put in the chat, a link to a video I created, as well as she'll give you a link to the entire worksheet I created that helps you continue to unpack these top 10 things, okay? So no worries about, we're going to go through all of them now, but no worries if you still have questions, you can look at my video, watch it, really look at my my brochure, my information that will help you really think about this even more. And what I also do here is I talk to donors as well. And I say, think about these top 10 things and pick the ones you care about the most, donor, and tell the nonprofit those are the things you want to hear about. However, y'all, I know that there's been a lot of pushback in the past from folks saying, nonprofits saying, hey, I don't want to do as much reporting. I don't want to do as much of this and that. That's understandable. But at the same time, when I'm behind the curtain and I see donors looking at your proposal, donors do look at this stuff, especially the financial picture. And if you can put together a one or two pager that has this, that then you can repeat and give to all of the different donors this financial information. So you only do have to do it maybe once a year, once every, you know, few months, whenever you feel like you have to refresh your budget. This can be really helpful. It'll make you stand apart. Okay? So here are the top 10 things. Want to be sure that you have a cash reserve or a rainy day fund and talk about that. Do you have a balanced budget when you're explaining these pieces? Do your actuals align with your budget and how can you show that? Do you have anti-fraud measures in place? If you have a project budget, if you're asking from a donor for something for a very specific project, you need to be careful about no lobbying if you're submitting it to a private family foundation. We'll talk about overhead. You really should talk about overhead in your budgeting and in your financial overview for the donors. Are you paying your staff enough? And if you feel like you want to increase your payment for the staff, how do you discuss that in your financial overview? Do you have diverse funding sources? And you should really talk about your fiscal year because not everybody is January to December. Some of you are June to July. We can talk about that. And what do other funders think? Okay, so you might be scribbling away really fast. I have all of this in a nice PDF that Amanda just gave the link to in the chat. Please look at that. We're going to go now. We're going to unpack each one of these 10 things in this training today. I know you're all on the edge of your seat. It's so exciting. To me, it is. No, this is important. Okay, so let's talk about first cash reserve. Okay, this one, we don't have to talk about it in too much depth at the moment, but it's what it sounds like. A lot of donors care about your organization very much, and they don't give enough in their donations to ensure that you will be around if there's a big downturn or if something like the pandemic hits and all of a sudden there's a big shift in what you're working on. It's very important that you have a cash reserve, usually 3 to 6 months. Some of you may have a year. It depends on your organization and how much resilience you need. But a lot of donors do look at cash reserve, and I'm surprised at how few nonprofits in their giving their financial picture to donors actually expressly say, here's our cash reserve, here's what we have. A donor can find it maybe in your 990s or other things. If they are creative in how they look, or your audited statements sometimes have this, or you might have it in your annual report, but sometimes you have to tease it out. And instead, it really is a good idea, I think, to have this front and center in your discussion of your financial picture. The next thing is a balanced budget. it's always surprising to me that organizations have budgets that aren't balanced. That's not surprising to me. The surprising part is you have a budget that's not balanced, and then you don't have an explanation of why. So that very, very often, the budget that you have for that future year that you're giving to the donor, saying, here's our budget for the current year, here's how our budget's stacking up, very often you have a negative for a variety of reasons. And if you explain that, it's fine. Because then we can say, okay, well, there's a restricted grant that you had to move in different ways, or the way that you're doing your accounting, you can't take for account for the fact that you're about to get another donation in a certain time. So it's going to show negative when it's not. Or maybe it is something that you're very worried about. You're like, look, we're in the negative by X amount, and that's why we need this additional donation from you.
And now for an ad, but don't go away, because I've got lots more to talk to you about. Hello, everyone. I want to let you know that I am putting forward a pretty exciting new podcast season, which is going to focus on the journey I took with one of my clients to think through effective funding strategies to reduce firearm-related suicide in rural and remote communities, specifically looking at Oregon as an example. So tune in to my podcast series September 30th through October 21st. Every Monday, I'll have a new special episode specifically discussing this issue. Thanks a lot.
But you very much need to address it. Don't just give us a budget that's not balanced and not explain that. So that's the important thing I wanted to take home with you today on this. Then the actuals, do they align with your budget? Okay, very often, and this is just a right and normal sort of statement that your accountant or CPA will do all the time. You're tracking it. You have the budget and you have your actuals, and it's plus or minus. And a lot of times that you send those to my donors and me to look at. And it's great to see, because we can see, okay, here's what you budgeted. Here's where you actually are at year to date based on that. And sometimes it's a little more, sometimes it's a little less. That's very important. So include that in the information. If you have significant discrepancies, just like if you were in the negative on your budget or something like that, explain it underneath so that we can easily track what's going on here. A lot of times things will be sort of actual versus budget might be a little off, because maybe you have a big fundraiser coming up. You're spending a lot of money creating the funding opportunity, but you don't have the income in yet. There's a lot of reasons why they might not match, and definitely tell a little narrative there. It makes you one step ahead of the curve. Okay. So you can get my theme on the budget question and on this one, actual aligning with budget. Explaining any discrepancies that you feel might be there is really important and just super helpful. Okay, anti-fraud measures in place. Almost none of you have this when you present your budget, but it's very important that you say out loud, what are you doing to make sure that fraud doesn't happen within your organization? Unfortunately, there have been a few occasions where my donors that I work for have given grants to amazing nonprofits who ended up being victims of fraud. And in part, it's because they don't have, for example, more than one person policing how checks are sent. Or they don't have a good, robust way to make sure that there's checks and balances on any kind of funds coming in and out. And there are some really horrific stories out there where people have been stealing from the organization, who are internal to the organization, for years, until there's, you know, luck would have it that the executive director saw a piece of paper on a copy machine they weren't supposed to see from the person who had been taking the money from the organization, for example, things like that. So, and unfortunately, donors, if they in any way get a whiff of something, an issue happening, or something all of a sudden happens where somebody is laid off or something like that, and of course there's nothing that can be said to the donor about that, then they start not trusting you as much. They start saying, well, what's happened? How has it gone? But if upfront in your sort of information about your financial overview, you say, here are our anti-fraud measures that are in place, and you get ahead of it proactively, even if there's some question in the future, or understandably you can't tell donors about why someone may have been let go or other things happen, people will know. They'll be, oh, well, I know that this organization has some kind of good buttress in here to make sure. Okay? That's very, very important. Okay, so let's talk now about lobbying. This is something that oftentimes even the most experienced nonprofits get a little confused about. And so I did want to sit on this for a minute and talk to you about it. And Amanda is going to, in the chat, she's going to give you a link to, I did a whole video on this, little video training on it, so that you could sit on this for a little bit too and get even more in depth on, like, what is this all about with this lobbying piece? The number one reason it can get really confusing is that you in the nonprofit space, you have created something more that's called a public charity. So you actually are allowed to influence legislation. You're allowed to move the ball and lobby. You just have to report it, and you have to do it. So you can't have it be a significant part of your organization. There's a whole bunch of laws around how much you can lobby, but you can do it. You definitely need to talk to your lawyer to make sure that you do that correctly and you've filed all the correct paperwork with the IRS. That's not what this training's about. That's a whole nother training. But I do want to make sure that you understand you are allowed to lobby. Now, the thing I want to talk about here is that it's confusing because private family foundations, so if you're seeking funding from a private family foundation, they have much stricter rules around lobbying, okay? And again, check out my free video on this that's on my website too, so that you can really think even more about this. But in a nutshell, if you're asking for a project grant, which is a very specific grant, you want to get one outcome, you want to get something done. So it's not general support. You want to ask for money to, I'll use a hypothetical, to plant 1,000 trees in a riparian watershed. Okay? That's a project. And so you're asking for money from a donor to pay for the resources to plant those 1,000 trees. That's a project. Okay? But as part of that project, in order to plant the 1,000 trees, you also need to lobby your legislature and Congress. You need to lobby them because there's a law right now that's prohibiting you from planting the 1,000 trees in the place you want to plant them, okay? So you're also going to be trying to change a law in addition to getting money for the actual tree seedlings and that kind of thing. You can ask the family foundation, the private family foundation, for the money for the tree seedlings and that kind of thing, but you cannot ask them for money for the lobbying portion of it. So that's the important thing with the project grant. Now, if you're doing general support, if you're just asking for money for your entire organization to do all of the things that you do, that's general support. That's a different kind of grant, and you can ask for that. And that's also not asking for lobbying, but they are essentially giving you the funds, no strings attached, it's general support, okay? So when you're doing a project grant, you need to think very carefully about how you ask for the money from the donor if they are giving you money through their private family foundation. The other side note on this that can get even more confusing is that some families, maybe they're giving through a donor advised fund or they're giving through an organization that's an intermediary. That intermediary may be a charity that actually technically could lobby, but they might choose not to lobby. And that happens very often as well. So there's the legal piece that they're giving you from a private family foundation. They've got a lot of barriers there to funding lobbying if it's a project. And even if they're funding through an intermediary that might be a public charity, a lot of times there are those anti-lobbying rules anyway so that they stay apolitical. So there's a real art form in being able to write a good proposal for a project that you want to work on that doesn't skirt over on the lobbying side. That's not to say that you can't lobby and your organization can't, and there's lots of ways to continue to do that. But this is a very important piece, like I said, that many organizations can get a little wrong. And so you can make the mistake of sounding like you're asking for money for lobbying and then really turn the donor off, and then you don't end up getting funding at all, or you have to go back and rework your proposal. Overhead. Okay, there's a really, really interesting conversation around overhead. Some donors really want to fund overhead. And what I mean by overhead, I mean is the cost of your fundraising apparatus, the cost of your office, cost of all of the things that are shared resources within your organization and may not have to do with a specific project. And a lot of times you have an overall like project amount in your budget, and then you also have an amount for overhead. And in the philanthropic community, there's a trend right now where I think is a good one, where philanthropic entities are saying, we want to support you all nonprofits in your overhead. And we want to support you all because we know that it takes everything to be able to do the work, not just the project itself. However, do think carefully about this piece with overhead, because even though there's a trend right now that's important, best practice trend where it's like the people want to say we want to fund overhead, some donors that I know and that I work with can get a little bit nervous if the overhead gets really high to them and their perspective of high, like maybe 20-30%. And they're like, well, what is this going to? Especially if the grants are on the size of more in the $10,000 to $20,000 rather than the very, very large grants. They're saying, well, we're funding because of a project, because we're really passionate about one specific thing. And this overhead is going to things that we don't even know where it's headed. And they're worried about that. So this is another place similar to the budget and the budget to actuals. It's similar to if your budget's not balancing or your budget to actuals are off a lot. With overhead, be sure you're descriptive of why you've chosen that percentage for overhead, what overhead covers, and why it's important for your organization. Be sure to do that. Description is great there. Okay, paying staff enough. This is something that is definitely, I like putting this in here as a question because it seems a little bit, it seems like, a little bit like, wait a minute, are we paying? Yes, we are paying our staff enough. No, I think that a lot of times you're all saying, Sybil, we aren't paying our staff enough. Inflation is hitting like crazy. Staff need to be paid more.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because I've got lots more to talk to you. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you're enjoying my podcast. In my podcast, I hope to talk to you, the wonderful donors and philanthropists that I work with, to help you think through the most effective way to make your money matter. I also, in my podcast series and through all my trainings, want to help and support the nonprofits that are out there trying to raise money and hone their pitch. Because I'm somebody that works with donors, I get pitched all the time by amazing nonprofit leaders, so I know what it takes to raise money effectively. Please check out everything I have to offer at www.doyourgood.com. I have a whole host of course materials and lessons, videos, downloadable documents, a blog that I keep updated. All of it is 100% free for you to see and review and learn from. Please check it out. Again, www.doyourgood.com. Thanks a lot.
So remember that if you're feeling like you want your fundraising for your whole organization or for a specific project, one of the things you want to do is increase the payment for staff because they deserve it. If the inflation is hitting, nonprofit sellers are already fairly low. Keep that in your narrative, but keep it in your narrative in a powerful way. Talk about how your staff are amazing, they're doing really good work, and you want to remain competitive in the marketplace. And this is what you're doing to retain top talent and to keep top talent. And this is what you think you need to do in the future for that. That's really, really could be really helpful for the donor to see that you're ambitious and that you want to keep this going. And it's especially true if your organization is paying quite low right now, because sometimes I've also seen donors say, well, they're paying their staff so low that, like, will the staff even be able to stay? We're committed to this work, but we're worried about it. So get ahead of it. Get ahead of this question. Okay, diverse funding sources. So this is something that's important. And actually, Amanda's going to put in, if you're in the United States, which it looks like most folks here are, she's going to put in links to the Internal Revenue Service guidance on some of this. And I also want to be sure that you talk with your lawyer and have them check, especially if you're a newer nonprofit, over your first 5 years. You want to be sure that you meet the public support test. It's very important that you are not funded by just a few wealthy donors. And the reason for that is the IRS doesn't want it to feel, doesn't want to look at your organization and make it feel, make it look like, from your perspective, that like only a few rich people have control over what you do. Because that's not been a public charity. A public charity, remember, you all are serving the public good. You're representing a broad, diverse group of people who care about an issue very much and want to support it. What you're not is just a vessel for a few rich people to then just do what they want to do. Absolutely not. What you're doing is you have diverse funding sources. You've got the general public who are supporting you. And it's very important that you're able to continue to prove that. And so when a donor is looking at your income on your budget, they're going to want to see that your income is from diverse sources. They want to see that both, not just because it's important to meet the requirements with the IRS, but also that they also genuinely don't want to be controlling you at all. And my clients get really nervous if they feel like there's not enough donors, because they want to be part of a group. One mistake I see folks make is that you forget to include your income in your budget. You only focus on what the expenses are. And most of you don't make this mistake, but enough of you do that I want to be sure I brought this up. Be very clear in your diverse funding sources, all of the areas of income, as well as your expenses. Fiscal year. Fiscal year is important, and it's interesting. Most of you do this well. You put your fiscal year in, but be sure whenever you have your budget or your proposal, add that, because timing-wise, it matters. A lot of times, I'll get a proposal in from one of y'all, and it'll be for a particular time period, but it won't coincide with your fiscal year. And so that means that I actually need to see two budgets, like a proposed budget for the future and one now. I need to understand how you're planning to divvy it up between the fiscal years. I need to, sometimes you'll do a proposal and it'll inadvertently mean that it'll be funding past work, which you can't really do. You don't want to do that. You want to look to the future. That's how you want to do it. So fiscal year is important, and sort of thinking about how your proposal fits into your fiscal year is almost no nonprofits actually do this well. Where you talk about, you usually just list your fiscal year and then you list your request, but instead talk about how it fits in to the fiscal year and the kind of things you're thinking about doing. And it could easily be that you don't yet have a budget approved by your board for the future part of the fiscal year, for the next fiscal year that actually your proposal is asking for. That's okay. Just say, it may look sort of like the one you're looking at now for the future. We don't have it approved yet, but here are some changes we're thinking about. That really brings the donor in to your cause and into what you're trying to work on. So fiscal year is a nice prompt to help you with the discussion. Then the last thing that's really important that a lot of folks I don't think realize is so important is you'll sometimes get that question, what other donors and foundations are funding the work? And you list those. The reason that that's so important is I always look at those, and my colleagues look at those, and the donors that I work for look at the list of the other funders, because we work together in network. So I'll look at that list, and I might even pick up the phone and call some of my colleagues that I see, oh, this person funded this group too. I should talk to them and see what they think. There's a lot of things that we do there. And so remember that. So when you list, it's really good. It's like an endorsement of your work. And then also know, though, that funders call each other if we're friends and colleagues. And so we'll want to check in. And that's all a really good thing. Other thing that you don't want to forget to do is if you're applying to a donor and that donor has given you funds the year before, double check the funder list to make sure that donor is actually on it from the past. It's happened to me quite a bit, actually, where I've seen my clients not listed in the funder list, and I've known they've given them grants, the organization a grant. And that's sort of a no-no, because then it sort of looks like maybe you don't really need the money. Maybe it's not something that you've pushed. So make sure you double check that as well. All right. So let's keep going. But those are the top 10 things. I hope that you got a lot out of that. And those are literally things that I've just lived and I've noticed. I've literally sat in trustee meetings when one of those top 10 things has come up and either been the reason that you've gotten funded or the reason that you haven't, because you haven't done it right or well. So those are all key. A mistake to avoid. Also, don't put something in your budget that's confusing or misleading, because what that'll do is it'll cause a big U-turn in the conversation or thought by the donor about your organization. Think of writing your finances and your budget as a story. Story that you want to tell, just like your write-up. All right, so let's do a little review of the checklist. Do you have a cash reserve or rainy day fund discussed? Do you have a balanced budget? Do your actuals align with the budget? Do you have anti-fraud measures in place? If you have a project budget, you have to be careful about lobbying. Overhead, have you discussed that? Are you paying staff enough? Do you have diverse funding sources? What's your fiscal year and what do other funders think? And then the top mistake to avoid, you don't want to have anything confusing or misleading. Oh, and I have to say, I just really appreciate all these nice chats from Lorraine and Renee and Mara and Arnold. I just appreciate all the thank yous. It means a lot. I really want you guys to succeed. I just care so much about the nonprofit sector and all of you amazing people making the world a better place every day. So thank you. Right back at you.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Amanda.
So we'll be back after the summer.
Great. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I enjoyed making it for you. So if you want to find out more about what I have to offer, please check out www.doyourgood.com and learn more ways to make your money matter. Until next time, do your good and be well.